So I guess out of this, there are 7 primary data needs that we really identified. And those would be a multi-beam sonar mosaic showing there are a lot of, when I say multi-beam, it's a very high-intensity sonar technology that takes very accurate, I don't want to say pictures because it's not a picture, but a very accurate layout of the bottom. And there are a few spots in the Gulf of Maine. If you go to the Gulf of Maine Council on the Environment website, the Gulf of Maine Mapping Initiative, you'll see the spots. They have an accurate map of where all the spots that have been multi-beamed are. Now, most of them in the southern coast. There have been a couple up near Castine. Very small areas, though. And most of it has happened near shore in Maine, not on the OCS. So basically, that needs to happen to facilitate sighting. We also need an accurate benthic composition, which I believe I mentioned earlier, benthic composition map that goes hand in hand with that multi-beam sonar mosaic. It would also lend itself to habitat modeling, quite a bit more than what we have now. That's number 2. Number 3 would be the regional bird and bat migration. That's another gap that we've identified. Bowen, please forgive the repetition here. I know you're familiar with most of these needs. The regional marine mammal migration that I also mentioned, that's needed. Recreational boating and fishing data is critical here. There are quite a few people out there recreational boating and fishing, and we need to document where they go and what areas are important to them. Lobster fishery data is also critical, spatial lobster fishery data, and that could be collected using an extensive outreach method. And also important tribal lands and views, which I believe BOEM is working on. Though the state needs to do a much better job of reaching out and speaking, which we have full intention of doing so through this medium. So I guess, finally, before I turn this back over to Karen, who's up, actually up next? Back to Karen. Using a really preliminary selection process, using the existing data that we have, with all the stipulations that we have mentioned, including a lack of fisheries data, lack of bird migration, lack of whale migration. Basically, what I'm about to show you are some large, minimal conflict areas that we think may be conducive to further investigation for offshore wind development. And those would be, let me see here, there we go.
There are none.
The suspense.
There we go. All right, so there are 4 large areas, and I do have a summary sheet here. I'm calling these area W, area N, area E, and area S for west, north, east, and south, just so you guys know where they are on the screen. So area W, located entirely in the western Gulf of Maine groundfish closure area, that would be this area right here. It is approximately 75 square miles in area and 16 nautical miles from Cape Nettic. This area right here, area N, approximately 197 square miles in area, located 16 nautical miles from Monhegan Island. This is area E for east. Approximately 172 square miles in area, located 10 nautical miles from Squeaker Guzzle, which is near Ragged Island. And area S, located partially in the Cache's Ledge habitat closed area and partially in the Cache's Ledge groundfish closed area. I did forget to mention, this area is located partially in the Jeffreys Bank closure area as well. This is approximately 319 square miles in area, located 55 nautical miles from Cape Nettic. So you can see there's a fairly large areas. 3 of them are in actual habitat closed areas for fisheries, or in groundfish closed areas. And again, the criteria used to select these areas, very preliminary. We do need a lot of additional information, extensive outreach. The data that was used was some of the VMS data, which, as you know, the limitations, which we've listed off several times now. The AIS data, obviously the criteria meeting the main PUC RFP, and all the other, the substrate data that we had. The bird migratory data and the whale data, we used the whale data that we had, which are just opportunistic sightings, but obviously migration for both marine mammals and birds and bats is going to play a critical role, in addition to extensive human use outreach in these areas if anything's going to proceed. I think that's about it. Do you have any questions, anyone?
Hey, Matt, this is Chris.
Yes.
I think the obvious thing here is that these areas are minimal conflict areas. The reason that they may be, in fact, minimal conflict areas, at least with fishing, is because fishing is not allowed in these areas.
Some of them. I can show the closed areas if you'd like, so we can see. Let me see here. Where is it? Ocean managed areas. So here is the Western Gulf of Maine closure. That big rectangle. Like I said, that one is entirely inside of it. Then there's the Jeffrey's Bank ground fish. So yeah, as I said, that's partially inside. This is not part of that closed area.
Right.
And then where is the other one?
Caches?
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out which one it is.
Caches?
Come on. There we go. So that's the ground fish, and then there's a habitat closed area on Cache's Ledge as well, which looks like that. Oh, it's in the background there. I have too many layers overlapping right now. This area is not in any type of closed area. There's just minimal fishing that goes on there, according to VMS. Again, according to our VMS data, there is minimal activity in that area. Not according, remember that does not pick up lobster, salmon, whales, or tuna, or crab, or scallops. Yes?
One of the things you might want to know is you didn't look at transmission.
Right. One of the things, well, I mean, this was just for minimal conflict in the OCS. The question was, we didn't look at transmission opportunities. And that is because this is not a transmission exercise, this is not for development. This is to find large areas in the Gulf of Maine that may have minimal conflict according to existing data that we have in our hands at this time. With the stipulation that tremendous amount of work must go into collecting additional data before any final decisions are made. Yes, Beth?
What was the limiting factor off of down East Maine? Or the limiting factors?
There's a lot of fishing that goes on there, and also some of the feedback that we received during the Ocean Energy Demonstration Siting Initiative, which was a project that Maine DOC and SPO took on last year to find up to 5 spots in Maine state waters to demonstrate floating wind turbines. We had done a lot of outreach in the Down East area, and there is very compressed fishing activity that happens up there because of the proximity to the Hague Line, whereas let's say someone down in Booth Bay might have a lot more room to go out. Folks in Down East Maine don't have a whole lot of room to go out. They get very well compressed. There's also significant bird activity that we know happens up there due to consultation with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. And they're also, according to the other criteria, the VMS and AIS traffic patterns that we used for all that also went into this vetting process, minimization process. It just didn't show that area as being conducive for these types of, for what we're talking about, offshore wind, deep water developments. Any other questions? Okay then, I'm gonna end the webinar and turn this over to Karen Tilburg.